They say he was a quiet man. In the English countryside, they might say he kept himself to himself. Maybe he was an introvert, or maybe he was just shy. Perhaps he was just more fond of the silence of solitude than the bustle of community. Being a lover of silence myself, I can relate. But he wasn't a hermit. No, Charles lived with his niece in a small house, and he left every day to work on a number of the local farms. He was sort of a farmhand for hire, moving from place to place, helping out as the neighbors needed him. But at the end of the day, you wouldn't find him at the pub lifting an ale alongside of those neighbors. Instead, Charles liked to take jugs of cider home and drink by himself. And maybe that was the behavior that drew the most criticism. It looked antisocial, after all. But once people start whispering, they rarely stop, you know? Rumor is a flame, and the minds of locals tend to be highly flammable. Charles spent a lot of time alone in the fields, and people had begun to wonder why. He also had a hobby that most people considered very strange. Rather than raising hounds or normal livestock, Charles bred toads. I know, it seems more like the pastime of a young child, but this was what Charles loved to do, whether or not he was 74 years old. For all we know, he was running his own genetics experiment. Or maybe he just loved the simple beauty of that transformation process from tadpole to adult. Whatever the reason was for the hobby, it was unusual enough to draw attention. And maybe that explains what happened next. It had been a cold February day, and his niece had prepared a warm meal and stoked the fire to welcome her uncle home. The twilight turned to darkness, and Charles failed to show up. So the authorities were alerted, and a search party was gathered for the following morning. And it didn't take long to find him. Out near the field he had been working in, under the wide branches of a willow tree, they found his body lying in the mud and grass. His hedger's slash, sort of a handle with a curved blade, was found buried deep in his chest. It was probably a fatal wound, and would have eventually killed him if it had been the only injury. But it wasn't. No, the killing blow was most likely the pitchfork that had been driven through his neck. It had been pushed so hard, in fact, that it went all the way through and pinned Charles to the ground. It's most likely that Charles had first been struck with the hedger's slash, and then the pitchfork was used to finish the deed. And the authorities looked for the killer for months. They had theories, but they were nothing more than that, and no more valuable than the rumors that had been spread about poor Charles before his death. But those rumors might hold the final clue. You see, people didn't like the long hours that Charles spent alone in the fields because they believed he was doing something unnatural. Specifically, they thought he was out there talking with the birds. And those toads in his backyard weren't just pets or the hobby of an introverted man. They were familiars, some said, used to pull a tiny plow and work the fields for Charles. Crazy, I know. But whoever killed Charles seemed to believe it. And they believed it enough to walk out into the field on a cold February afternoon and put an end to what they perceived to be a threat. Because if the stories were true, Charles Walton was dangerous. He was the devil among them, a source of evil power and wicked trickery. Charles, some said, was a witch, and his murder was punishment for that crime. If true, that makes his murder all the more remarkable. And not because of the details, or even the fact that it was never solved. No, what makes the murder of a suspected witch so remarkable is the year that it took place, making it the last witchcraft murder in English history. The year? 1945.